Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Ooh, yes, the Macho Man Randy Savage. And when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
All right, so the commercial or the news said just now about it's 15 years since the iPhone came out.
Yeah.
So when you first heard the I'm like, come on, Steve. But it was the news. And then literally 40 seconds later, we hear and it was Steve's phone.
It's always Steve. Listeners, it's always Steve.
It is always Steve. That is for sure. Caleb, did you watch this week's Ultimate Fighter?
Man, I did not, to be completely honest with you. I've had a little bit of a busy week, but give me the rundown. What went down? What happened?
Well, a couple things, and I'm going to discuss it. We're going to discuss it with Zach here in about 15 or 20 minutes. The fact that he had to fight I don't want to call him a teammate. Barely a training partner.
Yeah.
They've known each other for 3 weeks now. But my question that I'm going to ask him, and I want to ask both of you. So Juliana Pena decided, and they've done this before, they've decided that they're not going to coach either one of the fighters. Okay?
Okay.
Do I have a problem? Do I not have a problem? It's immaterial. But my thought was, and this is what I wrote down, if it's okay for these training partners, they want to say teammates, training partners to fight each other, why wouldn't it be okay for them to pick one of the fighters and the other coach would take the other fighter?
I guess it just feels, kind of unfair. I mean, I guess they're trying to be bipartisan or, whatever the case may be. I think, like I said, I don't see the issue with them. Like I said, it's a show. They're not really training partners. They're not really teammates. They're all vying to be the best and to win, the show. So I don't see the problem with the one coach training the both of them, at separate times. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like she's going to go out there and be picking sides. You would hope not, picking sides and telling the person what somebody else is doing. But I see no issue with, one person going at this lot of slot time, training with Juliana, and the other person going at a different time, and it not being an issue, and then they go out there and bang it out.
What they did do, and Dana made it a point, and Forrest said the same thing, that it was the first time in Ultimate Fighter history that Juliana said, we're going to fly in your coach, back home, since I'm not going to – So they brought in, their own coaches, and I hope this doesn't get me, beat up by Jordan Heiderman, but I don't think it would have mattered who cornered Zach Paga. I think we all thought from the beginning this guy's going to make it to the finals, and he is in the finals. I think I could have cornered him, and he still would have done the exact same thing.
He might have punched you if you were in his corner.
He would have what?
He might have punched you if you were in his corner.
if I gave him bad advice, but my only advice would be go do what you do best.
Yeah.
what else do I need to say to him?
Just go out there and win that game.
Right? Yeah.
just go out there and get into the finals. Let's switch gears just for a second. The Tampa Bay Lightning do not get it done in Game 6. What they did is incredible. I know you've been to the hockey games out here as well.
Yeah.
Back-to-back and then make it to the finals. They were in the finals before they won it back-to-back. What a tremendous run. They have salary caps. And the thing that I liked about the Lightning, and my son brought this to my attention, every time they would interview one of the players, whether it was in between periods, whether it was after the game, and my son believed that they were trying to goat some of these athletes into saying about me, and because they would say, what do you think? And every single Tampa Bay Lightning, it's us. It's a team. We're all team. But the thing that I think I respected the most is we didn't know about that list of injuries that came out the interviews, after your last game. And I think that says a lot that not a single player was like, hey, my ankle's broke. My finger's broke. And just big credit to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, huge credit to them. Tremendous, tremendous three-year run. A lot of people seem to think that they're done. I don't buy into that. I think that, they have their core. You're going to lose guys to free agency and to big money deals, but like any sport, you rebuild, you keep your core together. Look at the Warriors. People thought they were done a couple years ago. They kept their core together. They added some new pieces. You develop and you keep moving. But tremendous job by them. congrats to the, you know, the Avs for pulling it off, you know. But yeah, it was amazing. You know, I watched that last game, you know, everybody was bummed out. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, was in an uproar with Ryan Jensen's tweet about supporting the Avalanche. Did you see that, Randy?
Well, not only did I see it, I responded to it. And you know, we'll catch Jimmy up on this. So Ryan Jensen is a bad, bad man on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that. Plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
And he's from Colorado.
Okay.
Okay, so he played in, and my son also says on this, he hates when people say Switzerland, because Switzerland really wasn't neutral. Let's, you know. They funneled money, they bought things, they did things during the war, but they were Switzerland. So Ryan Jensen wore a jersey, half Lightning, half Colorado Avalanche. You know,
right, okay.
Supporting both, whatever. Here's the problem that I had with everything in the tweet and all that kind of stuff, is the moron that tweeted the senseless stuff that he said to Ryan Jensen.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I was going to bring
and
up
next. You know, the Mike Tyson thing. You know, everybody's a badass on a computer.
Yeah.
I want that guy to go say that. If you have the guts to go to Ryan Jensen's face and say that away from $1, because if you say it at $1, you know nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you say it, I don't know, like in Ryan Jensen's backyard, you know, something different might happen.
If you say it, leaving $1, something bad might happen. You know what's crazy? I have seen, and you know, we have this discussion about fan etiquette. You know, like I've had family in the stands and people literally berating me because I got a holding penalty or something like that during the game. And then I'm walking out and somebody asked for an autograph. And my brother's like, that was that same lady who was just calling you all types of MFers up in the stands. I saw her. I heard her do it, you know, and now I'm down. They're like, oh my God, Caleb, I would love an autograph. And so it's one of those things where it's like when they know that when they feel there's no consequence, people kind of go off the rails and say whatever. But yeah, some of the stuff that got tweeted at him is ridiculous. And then how do you not expect him to not support his hometown team? I don't understand that. I've lived in the United States since I was 10 years old. If the United States played Nigeria in the World Cup, I'm not rooting for the U.S. I love to see them do well, but I want my country to win.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So how are you upset? And then somebody said something along the lines of, don't forget what team cut your checks. Listen, he can go to any team in the NFL and can be the starting center and get paid. Just about any team. There might be two or three teams where he couldn't do it. Everywhere else would love to pay him top dollar to be a center. So don't think because he's playing in Tampa, oh, he has all of a sudden this loyalty and whatever it is. So, no, it just kind of got ridiculous on there. It upset me a little bit.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I guarantee that Ryan Jensen can flip burgers better than the guy who tweeted it.
100%. He's actually kind of a grill man. I don't know if you know this. He's a grill master.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And, you know, people have given me a hard time, you know, because I have said just because you live in Tampa Bay, it doesn't automatically make you a Tampa Bay Buck, a Tampa Bay Ray, a Tampa Bay Rowdy, a Tampa Bay Lightning. I said on my radio show the year that the Tampa Bay Rays played the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series, I said it then, I'll say it now. I wanted the Philadelphia Phillies to win the World Series.
Yeah.
And if the Phillies, and I've drifted away from, you know, baseball a lot, but if the Philadelphia Phillies play the Tampa Bay Rays this season in the World Series, if they play them this Saturday, I want the Phillies to beat the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't think just because you live in a town that you have to. I'm not saying it's bad if you do. My ties were to Philadelphia. My parents are from Philadelphia. You know, I did a couple bat boy stints for the Phillies. I'm a Philly guy. I hate the Eagles. Figure that out. I hate the Eagles because of the Bucks. You know, so I think people need to understand you're a fan of a team for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Let somebody else be a fan of whatever team they want to be a fan of.
Yeah. I loved what Jared said earlier, you know, about the kind of the growing notoriety of UFC fighters and the, you know, the kind of the more attention he's getting. He goes, hey, as long as people are respectful, you know, like, I have no problem taking a picture with you. And it's just, it's funny to me. Like, I want to see some of these guys that tweet football players go tweet UFC fighters like that and kind of see how that turns out when you tell somebody.
I've seen that. And talking about disrespect, I don't know if I've told this story or if I haven't told it recently, but Todd Yoder, former tight end of the Bucs, also played in Jacksonville and Washington, told me that old $1, you know, cars would come out of the gated lot. Fans would stand out there and get autographs. A guy handed Todd Yoder a silver Sharpie, and he was in, I think it was like a big truck or whatever. Todd is signing. In the middle of him signing, Derek Brooks pulled out. And the fan grabbed the silver Sharpie out of Todd Yoder's hand to chase Derek Brooks down. And the worst part is, silver Sharpie dripped on Todd Yoder's truck.
Right.
Oh.
You know, and he's like, I'll never roll my window down again. I mean, this is, you know. Yeah. But that's fans. And you know where I stand with 86.4% of fans.
Yeah. You know, like we talk about, there's a respectful way to go about things, like in media and players interacting with fans interacting with players. I think there's a way to be respectful to everybody you see and come in contact with. And I think people should just treat people how they want to be treated and everything will be smooth. But like I said, you know, when you feel like there's no consequence for what you're doing because somebody else is at a different stature, or you feel like, oh, this person's not allowed to do such and such, people kind of get beside themselves.
Ask Mike Tyson. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, we're going to reach out to this week's Ultimate Fighter winner, Zach Pago, when we return. Coming to you live from the Apex, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Snap Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Just because you're in the backcountry doesn't mean you need to compromise on what you eat. Right On Trek Adventure Meals are better than home cooking. They're designed to be light, tasty, nutrient-packed, and easy to cook in less than 10 minutes. Enjoy an unforgettably delicious meal right when you need it most. Take Right On Trek's trail-ready, restaurant-quality meals on your next adventure. Pick them up today at rightontrek.com/meals. That's rightontrek.com/meals.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. We're talking about Jimmy and his kilt and the things you've done for money, I guess.
Listen, this is a family radio station.
We can't say it all.
can't get into that too much.
All right, so we're going to do the Ultimate Fighter segment at the bottom of the hour. But yep. Sitting with us right now, Jessica Rose Clark. Jessica, how are you?
Well, how are you?
Or is it Jesse?
Jesse. Jesse is my nickname. Jessica Rose Clark is my actual name, my birth name.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. So you so listen, let's give people an idea of who you are. You're obviously from Australia. How long have you been in the States?
I've been in the US 6 years.
Okay. So I'm about 6 years as well, coming from the UK.
Yeah.
What do you miss from back home?
The food.
Do you know what I say? Dude, exactly the same
food.
Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, obviously, you people will talk to you about like Vegemite and stuff like this, but my...
I eat Vegemite every day, by the way. I eat Vegemite every single morning for breakfast.
That's Men With Hats, right?
Vegemite.
Vegemite is a spread.
I know, but that's who sang the song.
Vegemite.
Oh, Men At Work? Did you say Men With Hats? Men With Hats.
All right. Well, they wore a hat.
Holy Mary.
Men At Work. Close.
One thing. So, do they get Tim Tams here?
They do.
So I'll have to. I meant to say when we knew that you were coming on, it's the one thing I forgot because my best friend here is from Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
And he brings in all the Tim Tams. It's like a chocolate biscuit. But I'm going to do the Tim Tam Slam with you at some point.
Oh my God! Yes, please do. I introduce every single person to that.
I'm going to show you the Tim Tam Slam. I'll let Jess explain.
Yeah,
what
explain
it, is.
It first before I agree to anything.
No, just agree to it. No, it's not weird. No, it's not weird. It's delicious. No. It's delicious.
I'm not saying I won't do it, but I just want to know what it is.
So a Tim Tam is a rectangular biscuit cookie. I guess kind of it's like for the Americans it's like it's two cookies and then there's a filling and then it's like dipped in chocolate, right? So it's a little rectangle, so you bite off diagonal corners and then you drink milk through it, or like hot coffee, hot tea. It has to be warm milk, tea, coffee, and then it like melts the inside of it and then you eat it. And it's especially if you get the caramel Tim Tam that have the little bit of caramel in the middle, it gets kind of soft and oh my goodness.
And literally what happens is just heaven.
It's so incredible.
It's like being punched in the face by chocolate.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? It literally is that.
I understand.
It's an amazing
Everyone needs to experience. I every time I get a pack of Tim Tams, because I have a few friends who send me care packages from home, I just take the milk and the Tim Tams around everywhere. Okay, everyone's got to do this. It's kind of gross because we're all drinking from the same milk, but...
So,
well, even if it's bad, I mean, you know, I crossed the equator in the military, so the stuff you have to eat and do...
Oh, no, this is nothing like that. It's actually good. You know, there's no bugs. Like, you don't have to,
I had to do that as well.
You don't have to eat fish eyes. Like, it's chocolate and biscuit cookie.
How much do you know about the military and crossing the equator?
I know nothing.
Probably more than you know about Tim Tams. I'll tell you. Sure. Well, listen, so, you know, we try our best, especially at Media Day.
Not to ask anything.
Not to ask. You know, like people say, hey, how's training going? Any injuries? Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're never going to get an honest answer about any of it.
It just annoys people. And like I said, you give your time in a very important part of, you know, you've worked for however many weeks to get to this point. What is it like now, having been in this game as long as you have, what is it like now seeing the level of popularity of MMA in Australia and obviously in New Zealand and being a part of that? That must be pretty amazing, because it's only a couple of years ago that the sport had never even been there, really. It had no superstars. And now there's like an elite group of you guys and girls that are, you know, kicking backside all over the world.
Yeah, mate, I'm pretty sure like when I was still in Australia, fighting in a cage was still illegal in Melbourne, in Victoria, you know? So there's been so many changes recently that have kind of increased the popularity of it back home. It's awesome. It's so cool. Like when I first got signed, there was only a couple of dudes and a couple of women, you know? And now, like, we've had Robert Whittaker, who was multiple times champion. We have Alex, who's defending his belt. We have from New Zealand, Israel Adesanya. Like, there's so many high-level Kiwis and Aussies, you know, legitimately at the top of the sport. And that's such a beautiful thing, because there was only Mark Hunt, Anthony Parosh. God, I'm losing his name. I trained under him. Anyway, like that. I mean, you know, we meet so many people. It is amazing. You know, one thing I have noticed, though, which kind of bums me out, is that in the UFC, there's only two Aussie women now,
right?
You know, and then there's two other Aussie women who are fighting in Bellator, and one in bare knuckle. So there's five of us total, and I don't know anyone else who's coming up through the ranks, you know. So I'm really hoping that the popularity is going to mean more women are going to get into the sport as well. But Yeah, it's getting bigger. And that's beautiful.
You know, I always joke about getting punched in the face, right? Because I have so many friends.
A lot of men pay money to get punched in the face. Well, by women. Sorry, family radio, right?
I know stories, but I believe I'd get punched in the face by Elvis Sinisak if we didn't throw
him. Yeah, Elvis. Yeah. That you know what? That was actually the name I was trying to think of. Okay. I did a seminar at his gym like last time I was in Australia.
I haven't seen him since when Matt Hughes, well, he fought in London. Yeah. Matt Hughes fought. Carlos Newton. Elvis was my co-host.
Oh, really? He's a funny dude, man. He's hilarious.
One of the things that still bothers me, it still haunts me to this day. So Elvis fights. He doesn't do well. He loses. And he's sitting behind me, and I refuse to turn around and look at him. You know, I just can't. You know, he's beat up, and he feels all down. And finally, he's like, mate. He was calling mate before you, or, you know, I met you. He's like, sorry, mate. You know, like, what are you sorry for me for? It just crushed my heart.
Well, you clearly hated him because you wouldn't even look at him.
No, I just didn't want him to say that. You know, he's not fighting for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love Elvis. He's a good dude.
He is such a good dude. Yeah, he really is.
Jessica, I'm a big fan of tattoos. I have a lot of them myself. I see you have a few. Your traditional style. Yeah, your traditional style tattoos. What is your favorite piece that you have? And is it like a sentimental thing? Do you just like the artwork? You know, what kind of goes into your process of picking a tattoo?
You know, I have a matching Elvis record with my mom, which is one of my favorites. And then I have my dogs tatted on my leg, which I love my dogs. Anyone who knows me knows that I love my dogs more than I probably love my mom, honestly.
Caleb back in the studio plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, a big tat guy. I'll tell you my dog story.
Okay.
So never wanted a dog.
Yeah.
Never wanted a dog. I don't mind them, but I never really wanted one. And then I have a friend of mine who trained the attack dogs at the White House.
Okay.
So I told him that we're getting a Yorkie poo. And you know what he told me?
What?
I will never talk to you again.
Yeah. I would have said the same thing.
Yeah, that's not a dog. That's a hamster.
Yeah. So anyway, I go to the Humane Society. There's these two little, you know, Yorkie poos.
Oh, you see, you got a rescue at least.
Right, we can take a rescue. We brought it home. The guy goes, take it home over the weekend. If you don't like her, bring her back. That's the point.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday, my wife went to work. She's a nurse in Tampa. And I had to take the dog to the Humane Society for a shot or something. I don't remember. I drove home and I called her. I said, honey, I became one of them today. I said, I went to Subway. I didn't want to go home and take the dog home and then go to Subway. So I carried the puppy into Subway.
You were that dude.
I carried the puppy into Subway. I'm like, you're not going to leave the dog in the car, right? I became one of them.
You were that dude. Yeah. That's adorable. Yeah. You know what? So I'll keep talking to you because of that. Yeah.
I get it.
That's hilarious. So listen, I've read a lot about you're very close with your mum.
Yeah.
And you know, what a lot of people don't understand, especially living in the US, the British and the Aussies, obviously, we're very kind of close in the sense that we do a lot of things similar. But when you come to America, obviously, the distance and all this kind of stuff, the sporting mentality and the mentality to win at all costs and the ferocity that happens in rugby, in cricket, you know, and it passes through all Aussies. It's kind of the way that you're made, you know.
Yeah.
But you have a very special relationship with your mum, and I know that things, you know, when you were growing up, was it hard growing up, and was that a catalyst to you wanting to be a fighter? Was that a real kind of way of, you know, just getting out? Was that where the fight came from, you know?
That's a really good question. You know, I actually didn't start training or find fighting until I was 23.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I had such a unique upbringing, you know, like my parents divorced very early. I traveled around in the van with my mom and my brothers and sisters and a couple of dogs. And I've always been really independent. And I feel like I've spent my entire life, well, up until I found fighting, just searching for that thing that makes me feel whole, you know. And I watched my mom had me at 19, and then proceeded to have my brothers and sisters after that. And being a single parent, like, she was the one solely responsible for us. And so I watched her give up everything that she'd ever wanted to do with her life to be a parent, you know? And it was only when my youngest brother on her side, like, hit 12 or so, that she actually started doing things for herself.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of my desire to succeed comes from a gratitude that she did that. Because I don't even think initially when she had me, like, I was an accident. I wasn't planned, you know, and I don't even necessarily think she wanted to have kids at that, like, definitely not then at 19 as a teenager. But I have a lot of gratitude for the things that I've watched her give up, because my dad never had to give up any of that. You know, my dad left and did his own thing, did whatever the hell he wanted. Yeah. And my mom spent her time raising us. So, yeah, a huge driving force is I want to do well for her so that I can repay her for what she did for us.
Beautiful, yeah.
What's fight week like for you?
Pretty chill. Honestly, you know what? Like, I got to the my last session on Monday. I had still three sessions on Monday. But I finished my last session on Monday, and I was like, what? I'm so thankful I'm not on a schedule anymore. I'm so over. Like, yeah. I love training, but I'm like, I just, like, having to be... Like, I'm a traveler, I'm a gypsy. Like, I like to kind of be on my own time and do the things that I love to do, you know, and obviously camp for 8 or 9 weeks is like, be here at this time, and I drive about 5 hours every day to get to and from training. And when my last session finished on Monday, even though I was driving out here on Tuesday at 7 hours, I was still just like, man, okay, I'm on my own time now. You know, like, I have a bit of media on Wednesday, but outside of that, like, I can sleep in. And also, I miss my dogs a lot, but they're Australian cattle dogs, so they take a lot of energy. So when I'm at home, I still have to give a lot of energy, you know. And one of the things that I do appreciate in fight week is that I'm not waking up on their schedule, you know. I don't have to get up to let them out. Like, I can just chill. And yeah, so fight week is usually the most relaxing week of my life, you know. I get two or three of them a year, and whew, I look forward to that.
Jessica, I always tell people who are getting into MMA that the women's divisions are some of the most exciting fights on every card. Like, every time you watch, you guys go out there and you put on a show. There's head kicks, there's knockouts, and it's generally a lot of action. What do you think it is that makes you guys so exciting to watch?
I think we all have a point to prove, because people talk so much trash still, even in 2022, about women fighting, you know? So then... Even with the new contract signed, whatever it is, it still feels like we have to earn our spot, you know, like earn our reputation, earn the right to be there. I don't know if that'll ever change. I hope it does one day, but until it does, you get to see the most entertaining fights, I think.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Sad if you believe it, sad if you have to believe it, yeah. And sad that people do believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you look at my inbox, there's a lot of people that still believe we shouldn't be there. There's even been high-level male UFC fighters who have vocalized that they don't think women should be fighting, which
fighting
sucks.
In general, not even at the UFC level.
Yeah, which sucks.
You
yeah,
can't teach stupid. So yeah,
for sure. What can the fans expect Saturday when you get your reward? I've always been told the work is done. The work is what you do, and now the enjoyment. Summer school, whatever. Summer vacation is Saturday.
You know what? We'll see. We'll see. I'm always pretty happy to be there, and I try not to plan too much. You know, I like to be adaptable. I like to be diverse, and I think we're going to kick off the card well.
I've always said what amazes me is I've been around the UFC since number one.
Yep.
You know, it's a long, long
really?
Time.
No, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm old. Yeah. Longest running
I'm
MMA
pretty sure they were in the hundreds when I first started watching it.
Julius Caesar was reffing it, yeah.
They were probably in the hundreds when you were born. So not when you started. So, yeah, you know.
Wait, how old do you think I am?
20.
Oh, thank you.
He's going to take that. Because I've got the page right.
You've got my actual age, right?
Fabulous, yeah.
How much?
I'm not saying it's rude. I'm not saying.
Well, if it's on
with a professional. Right,
I mean, it's on the internet. I'm 35 this year.
Oh, see, I would have never known that.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take that.
But now I've got sidetracked. I'm so old, I forgot the question I was starting to ask you.
We were talking about being in the UFC since UFC 1.
You've been here since
but it was before. What was I saying?
We were talking about women not being accepted as much fighting. We were talking about what to expect on fight night, and I said I train to be adaptable and versatile, and you were like, it always amazes me.
I know what it
me.
Is now. Yeah, yeah, it always amazes me, and I've always talked about this, how nice some athletes are, and then they get in a fist fight on Saturday. I can't imagine you being that person.
It's a sport, though.
To be in a fist fight.
But it's a sport. It's a sport. It's like there's nice football players, and then they go and shoulder charge other dudes, you know?
Caleb, are you a nice guy?
I would like to think so, you know? I like to think I'm pretty nice.
You have a nice voice. I'm going to say yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He just dropped it like a couple of decibels there. Just like
to go. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
I love it. I love it. So, listen, when you finished Saturday and you go home to the dogs, do you take them to Subway? Excited.
Don't I don't. Dude, my girl, she's so mean. She bites people. I can't take her anywhere.
Okay. So, listen, what do you like miss about having to throw yourself into 12 weeks of a camp and, you know, the stresses of the training and the weight cutting and the diet and all of this kind of stuff? What do you do next week? Where do you go to eat? We're not going to follow you, by the way.
Okay. But, all right. I'm like, you know what? Do you want me to give you specifics? Because I feel like
where do you go to eat? Be dangerous. You know, what are you kind of, you know, what's next week all about?
Hey, you know what? I might be the only person you talk to that says this, but I don't actually cut much weight.
Right.
So, like,
I don't either.
I had ribs on Sunday. Like, I made ribs on Sunday and ate that. So, I don't diet, you know? Just had a breakfast sandwich. Like, cool, you know, but the thing that I look forward to the most is road tripping with my dogs. So I'm planning on taking them up to Oregon, and we're gonna go disappear somewhere in Oregon for a week.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Very cool.
Sounds fabulous.
Jessica, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having
me. We're going to get your information. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong.
I'm excited. Like 8 Man Strong. They actually sent me a package not that long ago and wrote a really beautiful note in there because I promote sobriety a lot. I'm almost 4 years sober, and they sent me a really beautiful message about promoting sobriety as well. So I'm a big fan of 8 Man Strong.
Which is, Adam does a lot of that kind of stuff. So they're our title sponsor. So we'll send you a care package from
them.
Thank you. We're going to send you a care package from Odd Sock Official. If you'd like to pick out a pair of socks here,
okay.
You're welcome to that. As well as, and this may fit, you know, even the most, we just hooked up with a company called Right on Track.
Okay.
And they make packaged food for like hiking.
Oh, okay.
Camping.
Yeah.
And this food, I'll send you both some.
Don't send me any.
It's good.
I'm good. I don't go.
I don't either.
My training.
I mean, with your Timberlands, you don't seem like a big hiker.
My training days are over.
But what I'm trying to get at is, it's so good.
Right.
That you can, like the grits I had just out of a bag is incredible.
Oh, I'll take that. Yeah.
So we're going to send you some of that as well. Thank you for your time, and have a great time on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's go hit a quick break, and we'll come back live from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Warren Moon, former NFL quarterback, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page World Championship Wrestling, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Certain things just get me. Rick Springfield does that.
Listen, that's
speaking of Australia.
As a musical person, the best way to get a crowd in America is to just play on your guitar. Doom 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 doom. Place go nuts.
All right, so Monday night was the ninth episode of The Ultimate Fighter. Welcome to the program. This will now be his second appearance. He started this whole thing off week one. Zach Paga is on the line with us. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. I don't want to say that I expected to hear from you after your next fight, and here you are.
It's okay.
Where are we in the filming?
So the show is shot. It's filmed. Everything that you guys are seeing is pre-recorded. And then the finale, which now you know I'll be fighting in, is going to be live.
No, what I meant was during the filming, you know, how far in the filming are we? Are we, you know, 9 days in, 21 days in of the filming? We know that it's all completed. I'm just curious, where are we in the filming?
So, yeah, we were there for 40 days, and this is like 36 days.
Okay. What was the amount of days from the first week when you were on filming-wise? You know, you were the first fight. You know, now you're the first fighter to be in the finale. What was the days in between? How many?
So there was,
I'm just curious.
There was 3 weeks in between my first fight and then that fight with Jordan, and Jordan had 2 weeks.
Okay. I always talk to, and I might have even mentioned it to you back then, but again, it was week one. You're not necessarily thinking week one, I'm going to have to fight. I potentially could fight one of my... I hate the word teammate. I barely like training partner when you're only together for a couple weeks. But give us your thoughts. I know that we saw it in the episode, you know, fighting your training partner. Did you want that? Would you have rather fought Eduardo, you know, just to hold off fighting a quote-unquote training partner?
You know, it didn't make a difference. I was there to win, and I know that meant fighting potentially everyone in the house. So it didn't matter. That's the way the cards were played. That's what Dana wanted to see. So it didn't make any difference to me, the fact that, you know, he was given a black jersey 3 weeks ago instead of a red jersey. It's just, you know, anyone that gets in the cage, they can get it.
Did you ever get used to, and again, we're still only talking up through last night's episode, did you ever get, you know, used to the cameras being everywhere and in your face?
Yeah, you actually forget about it, and that's the funny part. About 4 or 5 weeks in, it just became a normal part of my day. Didn't really think about, you know, the cameras being in your face every second. And then when I got out of the house, it was all weird now that, like, there's no one following me around every second of every day.
We can send you our producer. He can walk around with his camera and film you if that'll make you more comfortable.
If he wants to, sure, I could use the content.
Hey, Zach, this is Jimmy. I'm a British person. And the reason I say that is I play rugby a lot. And we've been reading that you had, you know, I'm right in saying about 5 or 6 years of playing rugby here in the US. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
So listen, we were talking earlier on in the show about conditioning and the conditioning of someone like Alexander Volkanovski, and I put that solely down to his experience of and the training that goes into being a top of the line rugby player. Would you say that part of your life has actually aided with the way that you condition yourself as a fighter? Because I genuinely believe that rugby conditioning is one of the greatest things you could ever do.
Absolutely. And you know, but the regular American audience doesn't understand how in shape you have to be a rugby player. It's 40-minute halves. You can't come out. You can't come off the field or you can't go back to the game. So the level of conditioning for rugby is completely above anything, football, soccer, anything like that. So transitioning from rugby to fighting, it did aid me in the being more well-conditioned than your average person.
Yeah, it's like I said, we had this conversation, and it's, you know, it's overall being conditioned. You mentioned soccer, or you mentioned, I don't know, basketball, any other kind of, you know, athletic sport. But the nature of rugby, when you get hit and you don't get that moment, it's so like fighting that you get hit and you've got to react straight away. You know, in rugby, necessarily you've got to be back on your feet. The ball's going, you're back into the next phase. You know,
Just so you know, Jimmy, and I said this to Zach 9 weeks ago, there's rugby and then there's sevens.
Rugby sevens is literally just sprinting around the field.
I love sevens.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was a forward. I don't know what you played, but I played eight, and I was a forward. And being in rucks and balls for 80 minutes, that's pretty much like being in a fight.
Well, yeah, I mean, I played all over the place, but primarily sort of front row. So I was constantly getting punched in the face anyway.
Zach, let me ask you this. You know, I don't want to say they made a big deal. Juliana made a big deal out of it, you know, that she wasn't going to corner either fighter. And I did think that it was cool that she allowed, you know, you to bring in your coach and Jordan to bring in his coach. But the thing that I thought of while I was watching it was, if it's okay for you to fight a quote-unquote training partner, teammate, whatever, why wouldn't it have been okay for her to have one corner and somebody else to have another corner? And I don't want to sound like I'm kissing butt or anything, but I don't think it mattered who would have cornered you.
Well, I do appreciate that, but it was kind of a sign of integrity from Juliana, because she had been breaking down our skills and abilities and maybe knew maybe some injuries that we had the whole time, and she didn't feel comfortable coaching either guy and giving away what the other one may have had. They didn't
want
to show in the episode for whatever reason. I actually broke my hand on Niall's head in the first fight. And that didn't make the TV, it didn't make the episode, or it didn't make anything in the show. But that was a piece of it, and something that I was trying to keep secret. And Juliana didn't want to have to tell Jordan that or tell me anything about Jordan. So she just removed herself from it.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes total sense. But what was the conference like when you did have that injury with Dr. Davidson? You didn't know that I knew Dr. D, did you?
I didn't know that. You know, it was great talking with a UFC doctor or with someone that wanted to see a fighter fight, because he just asked me, he said, I have one question for you. Do you want to fight? And when I said yes, he said, okay, you can fight. It's broken. All right, I'll sign off on it for you. But you have to know what you're risking. And that was great for me.
Dr. D is one of my closest friends. I've known him a long time. We've traveled the world together. If he's not in some gym doing cardio or lifting weights, I don't know where else he would be, and I'm sure you know that by now. Give me your thoughts, and you know, when you find out that you're going to get a phone call from home. I want to know what you were thinking, and I've always told my family and my wife, you know, I've always wanted to go on Survivor. I've always wanted to go do some of these reality things. I wouldn't want the phone call. You know, I don't want to kind of break it up and, you know, see my family and get all emotional and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious. Obviously, you welcome the phone call, but, you know, talk to us about getting that.
Well, so I'll be honest with you guys. You want to take that phone call? When I fight, I'm a different person. I strip away Dad Zach and Family Man Zach. That guy is not who gets in the cage. The different person that gets in the cage, and it makes it easier for me if my family's not around to become that guy.
Right.
So I didn't actually want to take that phone call. I asked the producers if I could give it to one of the guys that lost, and they said no. They said you have to call your family. You have to talk to them. So I did, and it was nice to speak with my kids and my wife and everything. But I was in the same boat like that you're talking about. I didn't want to see them or talk to them at that point.
Right. Zach, you looking into the stuff, looking into you a little bit, and kind of realizing you've had this kind of, there's literally nothing that you've not done, you know, whether it be career-wise. And how did you get to this point now where you chose MMA as this is what I'm going to do? Because, you know, you played rugby at a good level. You know, I believe you played a lot of college ball. You know, the sort of the element of your police career, all of these kind of things. You know, what makes you go, no, this is my destiny, this is what it is? Was there any one particular moment where you realized this is going to be my future?
You know, it was just luck, or you can call it fate or destiny, whatever you want to call it. I just liked MMA and I liked UFC. And when I thought my sports career was over, I just wanted to learn to fight because I liked doing, or I liked watching it. So I just wanted to learn it as a fan of the sport.
Yeah.
And then as I got into it, it was just luck. I just happened to be at the gym where Elevation Fight Team trained, and they saw a big guy on the mat, wanted me to come in and roll and work with Curtis Blaydes. And, you know, he's the best in the world. And when I'm, you know, he's kicking my butt, he's destroying me. But I'm like, okay, I think I could probably do this. I can make a run at this.
Yeah.
Zach, yeah. Being in the house and, you know, fighting somebody on kind of like short notice, you don't get like the full extent of time to prepare for an opponent. Going into those fights, what is your game plan? Are you focusing more on yourself and just, hey, I worked on these things in training, I need to get better at this, I need to try this technique? Or are you trying to kind of have like a cram session of figuring out your opponent, you know? Or is it more just I go in there and I work on what I need to work on? What's kind of your thought process going into those fights?
So my situation was a little different with Jordan. We'd been training together and we were friends and been sparring together every day for 6 weeks. So I knew more about him and more about his tendencies than any other opponent I've ever had or probably will ever have.
Yeah.
And I knew basically that if I could keep him from grabbing me, if I could keep him off of me, that I was going to do exactly what I did. I was going to piece him up and put him away. I just knew that I had to keep him at range.
Yeah.
And so it was a little different. It was something that the other fighters aren't going to get because they're fighting someone from the other team.
You know, people always say, like especially like in the fight game, like, oh, you know, training is different than actually going out there and fighting, which it is. But I always felt really comfortable. In the NFL, we do this thing where we have joint practices during the camp, right? So you go practice against a team all week, and then you play them in a preseason game on, you know, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever the game is held. And I always feel like when you practice against a guy all week, it takes away that element of surprise. So, like, the first play of the game, I know what your bull rush feels like. I know what your first, second, and third move feels like. I've seen it already. So there's almost zero nervousness in the game, in the approach, because, like, there's no element of surprise. I've seen you, what you're working on. I've seen your coach you on things that you need to get better at or what you struggle at. So it was always easier for me with those joint practices to go into a game. And if I see a guy later on in the year, I know, like, yeah, these are his tendencies. I know how strong he is and those kind of things. So it always definitely helps, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's exactly true. There's no nervousness. I've seen his best. We've sparred, you know, at 90% and the strength and the power and the skills that each other have. And if he was keeping, you know, a secret or trying to keep some special move, he didn't show it in the fight.
Yeah, definitely.
Zach, when is the finale? Has that been announced?
It has not been announced yet. I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, don't. Yeah, for many reasons. One, because you shouldn't. And two, I send these interviews or these chats, I like to call, to Dave Lockett. So, yeah, I don't want to get in any trouble at all. But I did try to Google it because I want to, you know, I go to most of them anyway, and I want to go to this event. But I'll just walk out in the media room once the show's over. What was it like watching, you know, 9 weeks so far, you know, not allowed to tell, you know, anybody? Sitting there watching, you know, most people don't, you know, in your neighborhood or the house, and then they see you're in the finale. What was it like?
You know, it was hard for me because I know I won both my fights. You know, I wanted to tell everybody. So I've been just trying to keep people interested and trying to not give anything away and spill the beans. But, like, I've been seeing all the other people on the show that lost felt like, trying to market it, trying to put themselves out there so much, and I was almost trying to keep it quiet because I didn't think I could do that without spilling the beans.
What, as you've been watching, you know, up through, you know, week 9, anything surprise you, anything that you were not aware of, you know, that happened either in a training or obviously your team training, not the other, because you wouldn't have been there anyway, you know, or in the house or whatever that you weren't aware of until you saw it on an episode?
Yeah, a lot with the red team, with Team Nunes. Like you said, we didn't spend that much time with them at practices. The injuries that they had, the type of training that they were doing was really surprising me just because it's so different than what we had over on Team Pena.
Good stuff. Well, great to hear from you again. Do you have something? Oh, I thought you looked at me. I will walk out, try to find out from Lockett so we can get all booked and be there live to watch the finale. Congratulations. Looking forward to meeting you in person very soon.
Awesome. I look forward to it, too. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Zach Paga, everybody, in the finale And if you've watched the episodes, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm, because I'm not, but there was just something about him.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the confidence, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, the rugby and the NFL mm-hmm. and the, you know, the police stuff. There's just something about him.
I think there could well be a focus just from the stuff that, you know, and there is limited information because this is, you know, but, you know, the guy's, it was a police officer. I don't know whether he still is a police officer, but you do this. Then you go into playing college level football. Then you go into playing semi-professional rugby. And then you choose to do, I mean, he seems to be one of those guys that whenever he puts his mind to something, he achieves it. If you understand, if that's not too cheesy, he seems to be one of those kind of characters. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that finale.
So, Caleb, I need to tell you this. So we're flying out to Las Vegas yesterday,
and
we board, I'm not going to plug him, an airline, and we're in the bulkhead. Steve's on the window. I'm in the aisle. And this 19-foot-tall guy sits between us.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he played basketball at Penn State, and he tried out at San Diego with the Chargers. And, you know, as he's elbowing me to take over the control of the entire row, we start talking. And so I asked him. I said, you know, my co-host is, an NFL player, and we've discussed certain things. And I brought up, do you consider yourself an ex-NFL player? He said that he only went to the – he played a preseason game. He made $13 to play in the preseason game. And
NBA?
I just, do what?
NBA, you mean?
No, NFL. He tried out for the San Diego football team.
Okay.
And $13 was his pay that week. His signing bonus was $2,500. Now, again, you know, we're talking way, way back. I mean, he knew everything about Otto Graham, so I'm going to say he was in that era. And he agreed with you that unless you play a regular season game, you are not considered an NFL player, because we discussed this.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it's a respect thing, right? It's just, you know, I just, like I said, unless you go there and you're in the show, you know, like, I don't, you can't. It's like I train MMA, you know, in a gym somewhere, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a UFC fighter. It's like, well, not really, you know?
Well, see, now, if you want people to think that you're really a legitimate UFC fighter, you need to tell them you train UFC.
Yeah, because these people don't exactly. Everybody just assumes
that's the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
I'm saying it the other way. It's like, you know, these tool bags, you know, cousins of Matt's. You know, it's like, yeah, I train UFC. I'm like, okay, enough said. This
yeah,
counts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, nice one.
Yeah. So a big week, big fights coming up on Saturday. We only have a couple minutes left. I always hate doing predictions. I don't know if
so
you guys
before,
want to.
Before we go for the predictions, if we've got enough time, I want to hear both of your opinions. So we're going into the third Holloway-Volkanovski match. Here's a scenario. Holloway wins.
Do we get a fourth?
We have to have a fourth.
Yeah, of course.
Holloway wins the fourth. We have to have a fifth. Where does it stop? Because if you've – I mean, where does – I mean, literally, this could just go on for the rest of our lives.
You know – I would say it depends on the manner in which he wins the fights, right? So if he wins this one,
yeah.
I definitely think there should be a fourth because of how the first two went. But if he wins the next one running away, then I feel like, you know, then they should close that chapter.
I mean, it literally becomes arguably the greatest sort of, you know, I say trilogy,
rivalry,
trilogy,
yeah.
whatever five is.
Yeah.
You know, but the unfair thing about that is – Let's say it's a close fight.
Yeah.
Okay. And Alex wins.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's 3-0. It's still Holloway.
Yeah.
He's going to get another fight because they're such great fights. You know, it's all about great fights and who would be right below him. Let's just use this scenario. Okay.
Right.
Sooner or later, Holloway's going to win a fight.
But that's the idea, isn't it? That if they're so closely matched and you have 10 fights, the chances are one of them is going to win six and one of them is going to win four, or one of them is going to win five and the other one's going to win five. They're so closely matched. Those fights have been so – they could have gone either way and we wouldn't have called it a robbery.
I'm going to say if there's 10 fights, and I'm not saying this would happen, but let's say it's 8-2.
Yeah.
It's still Volkanovski. He goes out there. He wins. He ekes out a win. He dominates a win. Sooner or later, a guy who's 1A to the 1 is going to find a way to win a fight.
I sort of feel bad for Volkanovski because he's literally gone in and beaten the next best featherweight in the world, and he's being forced to do it again. And like I said, the law of averages says that it's Holloway's fight, but I'll never, after sitting ringside and seeing Volkanovski up close and seeing Brian Ortega choking him and sticking him in a triangle and the way he got out of it and the way he fought, I'll never bet against that man.
Good stuff. The Hall of Fame is coming up. We'll be covering that. We're going to cover the jiu-jitsu tournament on Sunday. We're going to cover, obviously, you know, the entire card on Saturday. Hit us up on the YouTube channel, knockoutradio.com. I almost forgot, I need to thank Mary, who took care of us big time when we checked into the Excalibur. There were some issues.
Okay.
And she fixed
no,
it.
No, like, issues for the Excalibur?
Well, I love the Excalibur.
Well, I mean.
I love it. Seriously. I mean,
real quick, Randy, guys, predictions. What do you got? Top three fights. Who do you got? Rattle
okay.
off. We got to go.
I'm going to go Volkanovski. I'm going to go Volkanovski. I'm going to say Izzy, even though I love Jared. And I think, who's third? Sean Strickland.
Okay. I got Adesanya. And I think I have to love Jared. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Izzy points him out with his leg kicks and his defense and avoiding hits. And I have Holloway with a boxing, legendary boxing performance as the underdog.
I'll go Volkanovski just because, and just because I'm this type of guy, I'm going to go with Jared. I'm going to go with the killer gorilla.
I'd love to see him do it.
Let's bet a dinner on that one, Randy.
No. I don't mind taking you to dinner, but I don't. we will talk about it over the next couple days. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think Jared is going to even be better than he was in his last fight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Caleb, like you and I have talked about, Israel's just a different guy.
Yeah.
He's on a different level. And I'm intrigued. I can't wait. And that's why I'm purposely not leaving till Sunday. You know, that way I don't have to run out early. I can go to the press conference after because I think there's going to be fireworks all night long. I can't wait. Good stuff, Caleb. We'll see you back in studio next week. Jimmy, thanks for sitting in.
Pleasure, guys. Caleb, take care, my man.
Take care.
Odd Sock Official, 8-Man Strong, and Staff Zone, and, of course, the UFC for their hospitality. See everybody next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.